Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So at today's European Council meeting, EU leaders are set to discuss Ukraine, the Middle East and migration, with some member states under pressure from rising anti-immigration sentiment. There is concern that Europe's taboos on the issue of immigration are being broken one by one. And the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will present his victory plan to the 27 leaders at the summit, appealing for more Western support as he does so. Arriving this morning on Taoiseach Simon Harris was once again asked about the date of the next general election, and we'll be getting analysis on that shortly from Sarah McGuinness, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. But first, let's go to Brussels and to Seán Murray, who's Europe correspondent with Euronews. Seán, thanks for being with us. So what did Simon Harris have to say as he arrived there this morning?
Well, in relation to the election, he said that he would have an election as soon as the work of the government is complete. And as soon as that is underway, he would then, well, it's that it was his prerogative to decide the date of the election. So he didn't say that he would continue the full term of the government. He said that as soon as the legislation is passed, essentially, that he would have it. So I guess that's potentially admitting that the election would take place over the next few weeks, or at least be announced over the next few weeks, as opposed to in the springtime.
All right, and we'll talk to Sarah about that more in just a moment. But Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, as I mentioned there, is presenting this victory plan at the summit this morning. He's really appealing for more Western support. He also wants an invitation to NATO. That's one of his five main points in this plan.
Yeah, the idea of the plan is to bring Russia to the table to eventually end the war. So as we know, he has territory in Kursk, for example, so that could potentially be part of a negotiation to then give back some of the Ukrainian territory that Russia has taken through the full-scale invasion. Also part of it is full membership, or an invitation to membership to NATO, because obviously when you get your invitation, it would take several years for a country to become a fully-fledged member, not just because mainly things around interoperability and standards and so on, but the invitation would at least provide Ukraine with some stability and security. He also wants the ability to use long-range weapons. We don't know the full details of it, but that's sort of what we know so far, because he has talked about this over the last few weeks. I was in Kyiv about 3 weeks ago, ahead of when he went to the UN General Assembly and spoke to Biden and Harris and Trump. And the problem is, Claire, that, you know, there's been sort of a crickets, really, essentially, since then. I mean, he didn't get any support from the US in relation to long-range weapons, which would target military structures in Russia. The US, I've heard, has sort of trust issues with Ukraine because it wasn't aware that the Kursk offensive was going to take place. They're obviously also worried about escalation. Chancellor Scholz in Germany has ruled it out completely, and saying no matter what country gives long-range weapons, we will not allow anything of the sort to be used in Russia. So essentially, it feels like this is falling flat. And, you know, you call it a victory plan. You know, it's quite a grandiose name and title, and he's not getting the support he needs. So, and it's a really dangerous time, given that we've got the US elections coming up in a couple of weeks.
It'd be interesting to see what the reaction is to the plan when they get more detail on it, because it's an interesting point he makes in there as well about Ukraine in the future bolstering European security, because they will have battle-hardened and experienced military personnel, and it'll be fascinating to see how that goes down with the EU. I just want to move on to the conflict in the Middle East, because that's another key item on the agenda, we know, today. And Simon Harris is saying the EU has to do more. He's continuing to seek a review of the EU-Israel Association Agreement. Is Ireland relatively isolated, though, in that particular call?
Yeah, Ireland has been shouting into the void over this one. And, well, alongside Spain, Pedro Sanchez said both of those countries are really demanding that there's just an assessment of the EU-Israel Association Agreement to see if Israel is in breach of the Human Rights Clause. So it's just about an assessment, but the whole thing has been slowed down by the Commission and the Council. Both are saying each other is responsible for either side. But in actual fact, if there was any willingness from the Commission or the Council, which is the member states, then this would definitely be under review. Part of the reason why it's not taking place is because the Israelis don't want to have a review while Joseph Borrell, the EU's foreign policy chief, is in situ. He's due to leave in a month's time, so they're trying to play for time there. But moreover, there is no appetite amongst member states to review this. I mean, I've been speaking to diplomats for several months in relation to it. They haven't changed their tone, despite the fact that on Monday morning, foreign affairs ministers at a foreign affairs council meeting in Luxembourg woke up to a 19-year-old boy being burnt alive in an attack in a hospital. So nothing is changing with really regard to the EU's position when it comes to Palestine and Israel. And so therefore, we heard from the Taoiseach yesterday, who said that Ireland will act unilaterally to potentially implement the Occupied Territories Bill once it's in line with EU law and taking into account the obligations under the International Court of Justice advisory opinion on the West Bank settlements.
All right. Well, Seana, thanks for taking the time to talk to us on a busy day there at the European Council meeting. Sarah McGuinness, as I said, a political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail, is on the line now. We hear the bell in the background, so we know where you are, Sarah. From what we've been hearing now, the Taoiseach seems like we're not talking about if the election will be in November, but rather which date in November. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, totally, Claire. And apologies to all your listeners for this bell going off in the background. I'm still getting used to it myself.
That's all right.
It doesn't really seem like a case of if an election will happen before Christmas, more so when. I suppose, you know, like, Micheál Martin was on the Irish Times Inside Politics podcast yesterday, and he was kind of seen as the biggest barrier standing in Simon Harris's way before a general election was called. And he basically has kind of come out now and has aligned his view similar to what Seana outlined, the Taoiseach was saying in Brussels today, in that so long as all the legislation that the government feels that it must pass before a general election is called, so long as all of that is signed, sealed and delivered, he'd kind of be happy to go to the polls. Mm-hmm. Among that legislation is the finance bill, which basically gives way to all the measures outlined in the budget. The social welfare bill, which it gives way to the social welfare measures, so like the double child benefit payments, the double pension payments, etc. That went through last night. So it's the finance bill that's the big question. At the moment, that's down to go to the committee stage in the Dáil, which is basically where, you know, the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and all the amendments are made. That's due the 5th of November right now, but it has been kind of widely known that that could very easily be moved up to as early really as next week. Potentially, if the government wanted to, it definitely could make space on the Dáil agenda in order to move that debate up. So really, we could be seeing a general election called. I would be slightly dubious about next week, but the week after that is a big potential, I would say.
OK, so the week after that, which would mean election close to the end of November.
Yeah, so everyone had kind of been saying previously that November 15th was a likely date. It's looking like it'll be a bit later now, maybe the 22nd or maybe even the 29th. I think it's interesting to note that the Late Late Toy Show, which always happens around the last Friday in November, has been moved to the first Friday in December. And I know just anecdotally from talking to primary school teachers that I know that they are being told that primary school halls will have to be kind of free the last weekend in November. So all evidence kind of seems to be pointing to around either the second last Friday and Saturday in November or the last Friday and Saturday in November, which coincidentally would time quite nicely with the double payment of social welfare payments, such as the double pension payment, the Christmas bonuses as they're being dubbed.
Yeah. Oh, OK, now the other issue that's playing out this morning is the first meeting of the Public Accounts Committee since all of this controversy arose around Brian Stanley's decision to resign from Sinn Féin. I know you have been monitoring that. So what happened there?
Yeah, so I was actually in the committee room this morning, Claire, and basically throughout the week there was kind of a big question mark hanging over who was going to chair the Public Accounts Committee, which is the most powerful committee in the Oireachtas, and basically holds the government and all of its associated agencies to account in spending money for the taxpayer or spending the taxpayers' money. So You know, Catherine Murphy was actually kind of absent during the Dáil this week. She was kind of working from home. She had a flu, I believe. So it was kind of looking like, okay, who's going to chair this? Will it be Catherine Murphy? There was a very distinct possibility that Brian Stanley could show up to chair the committee because he actually hasn't been removed formally as chair of PAC yet. That kind of possibility was dampened somewhat last night when Sinn Féin announced that Mairead Farrell, the Galway TD, is their nomination to proceed to succeed Brian Stanley as the chair of PAC. Myself and a couple of other journalists were down there this morning, kind of eagerly awaiting to see what would happen. And to be fair, they just came in. Catherine Murphy sat in the chair seat, and it was kind of business as usual. What will be interesting to see over the coming weeks is how Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael TDs in particular react to the nomination of Mairead Farrell as PAC chair. The nomination kind of came in too late last night for, I think, anything to be done about it today. It's understood that PAC is meeting later on for a private session at about 1:30. So there's no doubt that the matter of who will chair the committee going forward will be raised then. And it will be interesting to see whether government parties will be open to the fact of Sinn Féin continuing to chair the committee, or if they will try and encourage Catherine Murphy to take up the post of chair until this term of government elapses.
All right. And still the bell rings, Sarah. That'll be in our heads now for the entire day. I don't know what it does to you, but my goodness, not at all. It's if you didn't hear it, you're bound to. I mean, it's been ringing there for about 5 minutes. That's the Dáil voting bell. Sarah McGuinness there from the Irish Daily Mail joining us from Leinster House. Coming up next, why it could cost the state €100 million a year if it was to reimburse patients for weight loss drugs like Ozempic. That's after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.